The passage selected for the sermon today is taken from the Gospel. I have compassion on the multitude, for they have been with me 3 days, and if I send them away fasting in their own houses, they will faint by the way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There are two overwhelming images that come to us as we listen to this Gospel. One is that image of the wilderness, and the other one is the wilderness of the wilderness. It's the image of miraculous feeding. And I want to talk about the wilderness image first, because the wilderness image is consistent throughout all of Scripture. Abraham is called to go out into the wilderness, to leave his home and to establish the kingdom that God has established for him. He has to, in faith, go into that place where his sustenance is not guaranteed, where he has to travail and to journey. Joseph is brought across the wilderness when he is thrown into the pit by his brothers, and then his brothers have to come across the wilderness to him to get to their safety after he is established in Egypt. And Moses, of course, crosses the wilderness once again to bring the chosen people of God back from Egypt into the land that was meant for them. Even Jesus goes out in the wilderness. And when Jesus goes out into the wilderness, what is it that he finds? He finds temptation and he finds the devil, right? The wilderness is the kingdom of the devil. The wilderness is that land that does not sustain life. It's that land of heat. It's that land that is populated by scorpions and stinging, poisonous animals. So it is that place of travail through which we have to go in order to get to that place where we have our reward. And we have to go there in faith. Just like the people that followed Jesus had to return home in faith. And of course, you know, following him into the desert is easy, right? The crowd is there. Everybody's excited. It's a party. Jesus is preaching. And they march out to that place where they can't be sustained any longer on their own. And Jesus looks at them and he understands that even though they came out shouting, glorifying him, that on the way home, when he wasn't standing by them, when he wasn't in their vision in this world, that it was going to be difficult for them, and that journey home would be characterized by faintness, that it would be a difficult, dangerous journey, and that they wouldn't survive the journey unless he took compassion upon them and he fed them. The people that he fed weren't the people for which the miracle was really meant. Yes, he wanted to feed them to make sure that they got home. And yes, he wanted to show them his miraculous power, that he really did provide bread from heaven, just the way bread was provided from Moses, so that he was that prophet. But the point of the miracle was really for the apostles. Because when he looked at faintness of heart, where was the real faintness? It was the apostles complaining, how are we going to feed these people? What are you, out of your mind? We can't do this. And he knew that they needed to be fortified, that they needed his miraculous presence. They needed this miracle in order to help them to have the courage and the strength to fulfill their ministries. And one of the interesting things about this miracle is that those people followed Jesus into the wilderness for 3 days. And when Jesus is teaching his apostles by feeding them, those 3 days are really important, because when is it that they're going to faint? And when is it that they are going to have difficulty finding their way home? Well, it's the 3 days. The 3 days between Good Friday, where they followed him up until the point that he was put on the cross and then ran away, until he comes back again in his glory on the resurrection. It is the three-day journey of the church during his absence that he's preparing them to survive. And this particular miracle is a direct reflection of Holy Thursday. The way that he creates this bread that overflows in abundance to feed these people is exactly the way that he institutes the Holy Eucharist on the night before he dies. He takes, he blesses, he breaks, he distributes. And life-giving sustenance flows to those who need it and doesn't just fulfill them, it overflows them so that they have to share it beyond their abilities to absorb it. Now, we all live in our own wilderness, don't we? It's going to be 100 degrees today. It's as green as it can possibly be. You couldn't be in a more lush place than Maryland, and yet, spiritually, we live in a wilderness. We live in a wilderness that is drained of life, withered of life, because we're unwilling to repent, and because we are slow to forgive. And the real heat of our wilderness, our spiritual wilderness, comes from anger and grudges and envy that we hold in our hearts and that we don't let go. And we have stinging beasts in our wilderness too, don't we? Stinging beasts are those words that come so easily out of our mouths and hurt the people that we love. Hard to control those. So we do live, in reality, in a wilderness, in a spiritual wilderness. And even though we come out of this building and we have the intention of praising God and reflecting his love to the world, reflecting the compassion that he has for us to our neighbors so that they know that they are loved of him as well, once we get outside those doors, into that spiritual wilderness of unforgiveness and grudges and harsh words that spring from our lips, we are faint. And Jesus has compassion on us too. He knows that we aren't going to make it from Sunday to Sunday, let alone from today until the day we meet him to be judged of him and to be reconciled and brought into our home. It's a long journey. And we aren't prepared to make that journey and to succeed in that journey on our own. But he has compassion on us. And that lesson that he taught the apostles, the training wheels of this miracle that led them to understand better the nature of the Eucharist, that he was going to give his body, his blood, his life to overflow into our lives so that when we were faint-hearted in our journey, we would be sustained and carried back through the wilderness to that place where he promised us that we would go, the place that is back with him. And so we're going to come this morning to the Eucharist, and we need to understand that that is what he is doing for us, that when he offers us his body and his blood, his life and his inheritance, it's because he has compassion on us. Because he knows that we will struggle on our way, and he knows that we don't have what it takes in our own hearts and in our own spiritual lives to take us safely home. And so he comes to overflow us with grace so that not only will we get what we need to complete our journey, but we will overflow in the abundance of that grace and share it with the people that are around us as well. And truly, truly, he comes to live in us so that we can live in him forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.